بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلوات وأتم التسليمات على مبعوث رحمة العالمين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله الهاشمي القرشي وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، so we had somewhat of a long break, hiatus due to some travel, which I apologize for. But we are starting anew, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And we had finished at the point in reading from this book that is a pathway to the Maliki school of fiqh. تَجْرِبُ السَّالِكِ وَقَرَائِتْ أَقْرَبِ الْمَسَالِكِ فِي مَذْهَبِ الْإِمَامِ مَالِكِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَعَنْكُمْ. So we had finished all of the abwab, all of the chapters of Tahara, which is that which deals with ritual as well as physical purification. Taharat al-Hadath wal-Khabath, which is a integral and necessary condition for the validity of the prayer. And that's why generally books of fiqh start with Tahara. And then the very first chapter generally deals with the types of water and what's purifying water versus pure water and impure water and so forth. So now the chapter that comes after this, Bab fi Awqat as-Salah, dealing with the prayer times. So there's kind of a logical order of things, because when you think about praying, which is the most important integral of ritual worship in Islam, is the prayer. It's the one we do most often. It's the one that we do five times per day, varying numbers of rak'at, varying numbers of units involved in each one. In masalata kanat ala mu'minina kitaban mawquta, it's spaced throughout the day. So this kitab al mawqut then means that it's there and space throughout the day for a hikmah, for a reason. And it's not just left at the discretion of the worshiper to figure out when they feel like praying, then they will pray, and when they want to skip prayer, they can skip it or delay it. But rather, it's one of the few things in the deen that has what you could say is very structured time schedule to it and has to be done daily. And this is due to the nature of human being that we tend to fall into forgetfulness and a lack of remembrance quite easily. So the prayer then serves as that catalyst to bring us back into a state of hudur, a state of presence with the divine, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing after determining that you have pure water and you can do your purification, then the next step is, well, is it time to pray or not time to pray? Because it's كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, spaced throughout the day and evening. So this is called Bab fi Awqat as-Salah. Imam Malik in the Muwatta, he calls it Wuqut as-Salah, and that's the first chapter he starts with in the Muwatta. So they're kind of following the lead of Imam Malik, radiallahu anhu. So he says, إِذَا زَلَتِ الشَّمْسُ دَخَلَ وَقْتُ الظُّهْرِ الْمُقْتَارِ. So when the sun reaches its zenith in the sky, then the time for the dhuhr, the preferred time for dhuhr, comes in. So there's two questions here. One, what does that mean, preferred time, which we're going to talk about in a second? And number two, why did he start with dhuhr? It seems like the first prayer of the day would be subah, or fajr prayer, and not dhuhr prayer. But here he clearly starts with the dhuhr prayer. And the reason for this is in the hadith of the Muwatta that Imam Malik narrates, the first prayer that Sayyidina Jibreel came to teach the Prophet ﷺ was the dhuhr prayer. So they started with the dhuhr, and then he came for each of the five, and then actually the last one that he did with him was the subah, or the fajr prayer that was happening the next morning. So going up with that same logical order and in the way that they were revealed or introduced to the Prophet ﷺ, he begins with the dhuhr prayer. So that's the first question. The second question, al-muqtar, the preferred time. So in the Maliki school, unlike any of the other three schools, the three main schools of jurisprudence, the Hanafi, Shafi'i, and Hanbali, we have this concept of waqt ikhtiyari wa waqt daruri. So preferred time and necessary time. What's kind of the fruit of the difference between those two times? One of them, if you do it within the preferred time, then any time within the preferred time is equal, so to speak, and there's no sin upon you. So this is what we call al-wajib al-muwassa in usul al-fiqh. Al-wajib al-muwassa means that it's an obligation, but you have hissat ikhtiyar. You can choose when exactly to do the prayer. Because if you think about it, if we were obligated to do the prayer exactly at a specific time when it would come in, that would be unduly difficult and may cause some level of hardship for people. They could be in the middle of something. So it actually is a hujja upon us. It's a proof against us that you don't really have an excuse because you have this time period that usually is going to be at least an hour, if not more, two or three in summer months, sometimes four, where you get to choose which part you're going to do it. So it allows you to prepare not just in terms of your purification and finding the qibla and so forth, but also to get yourself in sort of in a spiritual preparation to remove those things that would be kind of a distraction. Make the phone call you need to make, check on the email that you have to check on, you know, finish the video game you were playing if that's what you're into, and then you're ready to pray. And then you don't have distractions, you don't have things that are occupying you when you do it. The examples I used to use was not video games, but like the mother who's nursing her child or tending to her family and things like this, but these are the times we live in. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Anyway. So, إِذَا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسِ دَخَلَ وَقْتَ الظُّهْرِ الْمُخْتَارِ. So the Mukhtar then is anytime within that period, you're able to pray it. There's going to be preferred times. It's always better to pray at the beginning if there's nothing pressing you, but you still have this choice of kind of, you know, for what part you're going to do it. So all of the prayers generally have this Mukhtar time, this preferred time, and then the Daruri time. Daruri time is when it's, once that passes, if you delay it without cause, without reason until that time, you are athib. You have committed a sin. But you have not prayed the prayer outside of its time. So it's still considered what we say adab. It's still within its time, but you're sinful. The other schools of thought would say you're not just sinful, but you actually prayed it outside of its time. And when we talk about the specific times, that's going to make more sense. So, إِذَا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسِ, when the sun is at its highest point in the sky, its zenith, because as we know, the sun rises in the east until the last days, and one of those days is going to rise in the west. But up until that point happens, the sun rises in the east, and it will continue to rise, at least from our vantage point. Obviously, I'm not talking about heliocentric solar system and planetary movements, but from the viewer on the face of the earth, it looks like it's in east, and it continues to rise and move north towards west until it's directly above us. And then, once it reaches that zenith, which we call high noon, then it moves over towards west, and then eventually it's going to set in the west. So when does the dhuhr begin? When it's at that zenith point, some degree after that. And he's going to talk about what that means. So he says, فَإِذَا صَارَ ظِلُّ كل شيء مثله غير الظل الذي زالت عليه الشمس دخل الوقت المختار للعصر. So the ظهر إذا زالت الشمس دخل وقت الظهر المختار. So he kind of abbreviates a little bit, but it's actually, if I am standing outside in a sunny day and it's high noon, I'm in the northern hemisphere, not in the southern. So our friends and students in South Africa, we're not talking about you, or in Argentina or Chile or anything that's in the southern hemisphere. But if you're north of the equator, then your shadow will point towards the north, will point due north at high noon, at any point of the year, summer or winter. So if you think of, just kind of try to imagine, if you're standing, when the sun rises and you're standing outside, like 8 in the morning, you know, an hour or so after the sun rises, depending on what time of the year, your shadow will point due west because the sun rose in the east, so it's going to cast a shadow to the other side. Until your shadow, if you were to stand there all day until dhuhr, what you would notice is your shadow gets smaller and it's moving towards the west or towards the east because it's rising in the east. So you'd say this is east over here, and you're north, so your shadow is pointing north, and then it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it's going to move over towards the other side, which would be west. When that happens, when it's at its smallest point, and then it starts getting larger again, because now the sun is not at its highest zenith, it's moved 1 degree or 2 degrees towards the west, and your shadow is casting east, Then that's a time for dhuhr. When is it going to be the time for asr? The mukhtar, the preferred time when it starts, he says, فَإِذَا صَارَ ظِلُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَهُ غَيْرَ الظِّلَّ الَّذِي زَالَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ دَخَلَ وَقْتُ الْمُخْتَارِ الْعَصْرِ. So when you're standing at high noon, there's going to be some shadow. It's going to be a small shadow, but it's going to be some shadow. This is important to know the length of it. So whether you're looking at how tall you are, if you have a stick in the ground, because remember, the sabab, the actual fit cause for when a prayer comes in is not the calendar that you have or your alarm clock on your phone. That's an approximation. What actually causes it, and say now it's become obligatory upon you, is when these shadows function in the way that we said. So when you're facing due north, your shadow is small. This is called fe'i al-zawaj. It's kind of like the shadow when you're at high noon. You take that length and you add it to your height, if you're the one standing there. So that length, let's say it's like 1 foot, and then you're 6 feet, so that's 7 feet. So when the shadow points towards the other direction and it's 7 feet, the length of it, this is the time for us. So this is what's called al-qama al-ula, the first qama or the first height. This is the beginning time of asr. Some of you may be familiar with the Hanafi school. Why is their asr much later? Because they take qamatain. They say two heights is the beginning of asr, not one height. So they were looking for something like a 14-foot shadow. If we're talking about seven, 6 feet plus one, fate is there. So once that happens, then this is the time for the mukhtar of the asr. وَهُوَ دُرِّي الظُّهْرِ. And at the same time, this is the end time of the preferred end time of dhuhr, and now you go into the dhururi time, which is the necessary time of dhuhr, which means what we call waqt mushtarak. So there's a time where you can pray both dhuhr and asr, and they're considered on time. Except if you wait and pray dhuhr until the time of asr comes in, which is the preferred time of asr, but the dhururi or necessary time of dhuhr, you've committed a sin. If you don't have a good excuse, if you're not traveling, if you were otherwise indisposed, whatever it might be, then you would be, you have committed a sin and you have to make istighfar. But you had still, you're not doing a makeup prayer when you do that. You're still praying technically on time. There is, however, at the end of dhuhr and the beginning of asr, what we call four rak'ahs, whatever it takes for you to pray dhuhr or asr, that is going to be specific to the dhuhr, and then the asr comes in. So up until that point, dhuhr is still on time, which is four rak'ahs after the adhan, for example. So technically in the Maliki school, if you're somewhere and you forget, you haven't prayed dhuhr, and then you hear the adhan of asr, you still have about a four rak'ah time to actually pray once that adhan happens, and you're still technically within the preferred time of dhuhr, according to at least one opinion in the Maliki school, if you do that. That's what we mean by waqt, also waqt mushtarak, that the times are combined. فَإِذَا أَصْفَرَتِ الشَّمْسِ صَارَ ضَرُورِيًا لَهُمَا إِلَى الْغُرُوبِ. Now he's talking about the ضروري or necessary time of Asr. So Asr begins at the first length plus the shade at the time of high noon. When does that extend to in terms of its preferred time? You can pray any time within that time. He calls it an isfirar, which is, they say, a yellowness or a yellowing of the horizon. What it actually refers to is that the sun has come to a low point, because when it's going about to set in the west, it's getting lower in the horizon. To the degree that some of them said, if you're looking straight ahead and you're standing, the sun will either reflect on the walls of the houses or it will be in your eyes. So some of us, we can recall when we're like driving back from work and it's about 45 minutes before Maghrib and the sun's in our eyes. So that's considered isfirah. So usually it's going to be somewhere between 40, 45 minutes, 50 minutes before, depending on the time of year, before Maghrib. When that time comes in, that's called an isfira, is asfarat shams. Then at this point, the dhururi of asr has come in. So if you delay asr past this point, for no reason, no valid reason, then you are athim, you're sinful. The dhururi of dhuhr still extends that point too. They're going to extend all the way until Maghrib. So there's a dururi or a necessary time from isfirah, from the yellowing of the sky, for both dhuhr and asr, from that point all the way until maghrib. Once maghrib comes in, then if you pray dhuhr or asr after maghrib, then you are not just sinful, but you prayed it outside of its time. So now it's a makeup prayer. And it's not just ada, it's called qada, makeup prayer. وَبِكَمَالِ الْغُرُوبِ يَدْخُلُ الْمُخْتَارُ لِلْمَغْرِبِ وَهُوَ بِقَدْرِ مَا تُؤَدَّى بَعْدَ تَحْصِيلِ شُرُوتِهَا. So when is Maghrib prayer? They say when kind of the disk of the sun has completely set. Completely set. Not that there's some part of it remaining. So this is important, especially when we talk about Ramadan and fasting, because some people go by their calendar, and those calendars usually take averages, which means if you're a little bit west of that point, and you take an average that's east of you, means your maghrib is a little bit later. Could be a minute, could be 30 seconds, could be anything. And most Muslims, as soon as maghrib comes in, it's like, you know, off to the races, off to the, you know, Ramadan buffet, you know, in the multi-purpose room in the mosque, and let's get our dates and our sambosas and so forth. But if the sun is still out and it hasn't completely set, then you've broken your fast before Maghrib has actually come in. So don't just go by kind of the averages that are found in some of these calendars, but you know, you want to be certain. And certainty here means valabitathan. Valabitathan means, yeah, not absolute certainty. You don't have to board Elon Musk SpaceX spaceship and go and see if the sun is actually set or not in the horizon. But you don't have to spend all that money. But you have a ghalabatul dhan. You have more or less, you're certain that the sun has set. And that means maybe give it a 2 minutes, 3 minutes extra. Most Muslim countries, they do that, actually. The adhan is going to be actually, especially during Ramadan, they're going to add a few minutes so that people don't break the fast before the time. Kind of this big distinction between preferred and necessary time, because its time is so short. So the preferred time for Maghrib technically is only as much time as you need to prepare for it. So that includes determining the qibla, getting something on if you need to cover your awrah, and making wudu. All of that shouldn't take more than 10-15 minutes. So if you already have all of that when Maghrib comes in, technically you can then wait up to 10 or 15 minutes before doing your prayer, because doesn't mean that you actually have to get those conditions in, but you're given that length of time. So you can wait for others 10 to 15 minutes. Beyond 10 to 15 minutes, then the dhururi comes in and you should not wait any longer. You should pray about it, even if it's by yourself. So you don't want to wait for a jama'ah that's going to be so much later and going to delay maghrib beyond 10 or 15 minutes from the beginning of the time. That's what he means by huwa biqadri al-mukhtar ma tu'adda ba'da tahsil shurutiha. So as soon as all the conditions are fulfilled, then I'm estimating up to 10 to 15 minutes, maybe 20 if we stretch it, then the dhururi, or the necessary time of maghrib, is at that point, and one has to pray that from that point. وبغروب الشفق الأحمر يدخل المختار للعشاء إلى ثلث الليل. So when does Isha come in and Maghrib is over? Its preferred time of Maghrib is over? غروب الشفق الأحمر, when the red horizon has completely dissipated. So that means any redness and yellowness in the sky is gone. There might be some whiteness, because the other schools, like the Hanafi school, talks about the white horizon, the Shafaq al-Abyad. It doesn't have to be until that point. So the Shafaq al-Ahmar is actually kind of, I think they call it nautical twilight. So it's going to be some time before when it's completely dark. So it's still going to be sort of light out when Isha comes in, but the redness and yellowness of the sky will be gone. And that may be maybe 20 minutes difference or something like that between the Shafaq al-Ahmar and the Shafaq al-Abyad, depending upon what time of year it is and where you are in the globe. So then this is the beginning time of Isha, and then that extends the preferred time all the way up until one third of the night. So here it's going to be just straight fraction. There's no like signs to look for. How do you calculate one third of the night? You count the number of hours between Maghrib and Fajr. Not Maghrib and sunrise, Maghrib and Fajr. So let's say Maghrib comes in at 6 p.m. And for argument's sake, we'll say Fajr comes in at 6 a.m. That's 12 hours. Then you're going to take 12 divided by 3 is 1/3. That's 4 hours. So 6 p.m., then 4 hours later is 10 p.m. So that means your Isha should be done on that day before 10 p.m. Because otherwise, you're going to the Daruri time. And I know a lot of people are very lax with that. They kind of wait all the way until about before they go to sleep at 11 or midnight, and they don't consider that maybe they've actually delayed it, especially if you're trying to adhere to the Maliki school beyond its preferred time. So that's actually sinful to do that. And so that's a preferred time for Isha. And then the Daruri time for both Maghrib and Isha extends all the way until the beginning of Fajr in the morning. وهو ما قبله ضروريات للمغرب أو سوري ضروريان للمغرب وبقية الليل ضروري لهما. So that's what we just said. The ضروري for مغرب is going to go up until the time that you need to prepare, and that extends all the way until the Fajr time. The ضروري for عشاء will be from the 1/3 of the night all the way into Fajr time. That's why I said بَقِيَّةُ اللَّيْلِ ضَرُورِي لَهُمَا for both of them, for both Maghrib and Isha. فَعِلْمَ اِشْتِرَاقُ الظُّهْرِ مَعَ الْعَصْرِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ مَعَ الْعِشَاءِ. So from this we can conclude there's ishtiraq, there is a common time, which is the necessary time, between Dhuhr and Asr and between Maghrib and Isha. And generally speaking, there's not an ishtiraq or a common time between the preferred times. Preferred times are generally by themselves, except the 3 or 4 rakat time that we count at the end of the beginning in the transition period. But other than that, the Daruri are, they have a common time, and the preferred time, or the Mukhtar, has its own individual time. وَتَخْتَصُّ الْأَخِيرَةُ بِقَدْرِهَا مِنَ الْوَقْتِ بِمَعْنَى أَنَّهُ لَوْ زَالَ الْعُذْرُ مِنْ دَمْ أَوْ كَإِغْمَاءِ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الْوَقْتِ بَعْدَ الظُّهْرِ مَا يَسَعُ رَكْعَةً بسجدتيها بعد الأولى اختصت به الأخيرة وسقطت الأولى. So this is, mas'ala is a little bit tricky. So what he's saying here is تختص الأخيرة بقدرها من الوقت. What is الأخيرة? The last one. So we have ظهر and عصر. The last one is عصر. Between Maghrib and Isha, the last one is Isha. So there's a specific time that's only going to be for Isha, and a specific time that's only going to be for Asr, and Dhuhr is not counted. When is that time? He says, بِمَعْنَ أَنَهُ لَوْ زَالَ الْعُذْرُ مِنْ دَمْ أَوْ كَإِغْمَاءِ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الْوَقْتِ بَعْدَ الطُّهْرِ مَا يَسْعَ رَكْعَةً بِسَجْدَتَيْهَا بَعْدَ الْأُولَى اخْتَصَّ بِهِ الْأَخِيرَةُ وَسَقَطَتِ الْأُولَى. So let's say you are in a position where you have an excuse not to pray, like a woman who's menstruating, and she determines that her period is over, and now it's time for her to pray. Well, what time is it right now? Is she going to pray Dhuhr and Asr, or just Asr? It depends. If her period stops, let's say, only enough time before Maghrib for her to pray only one rak'ah, or two, or three, or only four, and there's not enough time to do a fifth rak'ah, then the only prayer that's obligatory upon her at that point is Asr, not Dhuhr. Because when the Udhr, right, when the legal reason for her not to have to pray was lifted, she only had enough time to pray only one of them. So then the only obligatory one will be the last one, which would be Asr in this case. And the same thing for Maghrib and Isha. If she determines that she wakes up before Fajr for some reason, which she doesn't have to, but say she does, and determines that her period is over, and there's only enough time to pray Isha, and there's not enough time to pray 7 rak'ahs, which would be the Maghrib too. Actually 5, not 7, because you need to just do, if you make one rak'ah with its 2 sujood, that's what he's saying here, bisajdatayha. Then, if there's enough time to pray 5 rak'ahs, at that point she should pray Maghrib and Isha. Or actually 4, because she's going to do 3 of Maghrib, and then there's only time for 1 rak'ah left. Well, all you need to do is 1 rak'ah, and then you've made the prayer on time. And that would be the rak'ah of Isha. But anything less than that, you would only have to pray Isha. That sounds a little confusing, but that's kind of the Maliki's confusing mas'ala in prayer times. Other schools don't have that, but Imam Malik radiallahu anhu saw it this way. That's why he said, وَلَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ الْوَقْتِ بَعْضُ الطُّهْرِ مَا يَسْعُ رَقَعَةً بِسَجْدَتَيْهَا بَعْضُ الْأُولَى اخْتَصَتْ بِهِ الْأَخِيرَ وَسَقَطَتْ الْأُولَى. So if you only have time for one raqa, either way, he's giving it like the extreme example, then it's always going to be either just Asr or just Isha. فَإِذَا طَلَعَ الْفَجْرُ الصَّادِقُ دَخَلَ الْمُخْتَارُ لِلصُّبْحِ. Now he's talking about the Fajr prayer, which is the last one, because in the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Jibreel came to him these five times, and he came for Fajr, the last one. فَإِذَا طَلَعَ الْفَجْرُ الصَّادِقُ. So he's saying here, if the true Fajr comes, why is there a Fajr Kathib? Is there a lying Fajr, so to speak? Yes, they said, there is a lightness in the sky, and if you hang out at night and try to look for it, you may not be able to see it, you know, with all the light pollution, but maybe in a place where we don't have too much of that. You'll see that there's a light in the sky, but it's kind of like, they call it, they say it looks like a wolf's tail. Layl al-Sirhan or Layl al-Dhib. And it just looks like a streak of light that's kind of in the middle of the horizon. It's not the whole horizon, kind of the light beginning to emerge. That's called the Fajr al-Kadhib. That's not true Fajr. So Fajr comes after that. So Fajr al-Sadiq is when the beginning of the light coming into the horizon as the sun is approaching the sunrise. Then this is the beginning of the Fajr prayer. In some of the calendars, it's like the conjunction between of usually at least 17 to 18 degrees, you know, after the conjunction between the sun and the moon, or the sun and the earth. So at that point, دخل المختار للصبح. Then this is the preferred time of the morning prayer, once that happens. Then this preferred time, how long does it extend? He says here, there's two opinions. هل هو للطلوعي أو للإسفار? So is the preferred time till actual sunrise? So that means there's no ضروري time for Fajr, really. It's all preferred. You can wait until a few minutes before sunrise. أو للإسفار. إسفار means that now, يسفر عن نفسه means now things become clear. So assuming it wasn't like a middle of the month and the moon was still out from the moonlight, and there's no moonlight, it means you can begin to discern faces. Isfar. So it's kind of light out. And you'll notice like up to 15, 20 minutes before actual sunrise, it looks like the light is out, but the sun hasn't risen yet. So is it till the actual sunrise or when the light comes out? Two opinions. The opinion that I know that's the mashhur and the stronger opinion is the isfar. That once the light comes out, then at this point, you've got into the duruy time, and it's preferred always to pray before that. The Hanafi school is the opposite, actually. The Hanafi school says the preferred time is isfar, is when there's some light out. So that's why they delay their fajr too. Two opinions. Wallahu a'lam.
ويدرك الوقت بركعة فيه بسجدتيها.
And any prayer that you pray, as long as you're able to do one complete rak'ah, including the two sujood, then you've prayed on time. So that means you do it to prostration, then you say Allahu Akbar to stand up, that's one unit. If you've done that, then you've made the prayer on time, even if the next two rak'ahs or next three or next one, depending on what prayer it is, falls technically outside of the preferred time, then you still prayed in the preferred time. He doesn't mention here, but there are some reasons, like for example, in Dhuhr, why would you delay it? You would delay it for a jama'ah, if you're going to pray in a congregation. That's completely allowed. Or in the Tabrid. Tabrid means in the hot summer months, if the community decides that, generally if people are walking to the masjid and they want to delay a little bit, so it's not, the sun is at its scorching hottest, then it can be delayed. A little bit, you know, 1/4 or 1/8 of the time into something like that. They say robat qama or something, you know, 1/4 length after that to for tabrid, so that it's not prayed at the sunniest and the most hot. And so forth. And also for Isha, you can delay up until, as we said, 1/3 of the night. So if like people are it's more convenient for them, especially after work, and they want to get together in the masjid and they set the prayer times so that it can be convenient for people. As long as, and the maliki school is not one third of the night has expired, then that's completely fine too.
وتحرم النافلة في حال طلوع الشمس أو غروبها أو خطبة الجمعة أو تذكر الفائتة أو ضيق الوقت أو إقامة لحاضرة.
So now he's talking about the nafilah, which is any type of extra prayer. Not any type, not the sunnah prayers, which include Eid and Witr and things like this, but we're talking about like the two or four rak'ahs before Dhuhr or after, the two or four before Asr, the 2 to 6 after Maghrib, any rak'ahs that are done after Isha, so forth. These are called nafilah. It's a general category.
تحرم النافلة, it becomes haram to pray them when في حال طلوع الشمس, at exact sunrise,
one should not pray when the sun is rising. That's nafila, not the fard. The fard, as soon as you wake up, and even if the sun is rising, you pray it then. The wajib part.
أو غروبها, or to pray nafila exactly when the sun is setting.
أو خطبة الجمعة, or during the Jum'ah. And this is something the Malikis, and I believe the Hanafis, this is the opinion, not the Shafi'is. So if you enter into the masjid, and either the imam is sitting on the minbar and he hasn't started yet, or he's already started, then you are, one is to sit down and not to pray. Because the Malikis and both the Hanafis, Malik and Hanafis, saw that listening to the imam is an obligation, because that's considered part of the prayer service overall, because you're praying only 2 rak'ahs of Jum'ah as opposed to 4 of Dhuhr. So the khutbah kind of takes the place of that, so it's as if you're in a kind of state of prayer. So they said one is not to pray the nafilah or tahiyyat al-masjid, the greeting prayer of the mosque, when the imam is on the minbar or the imam is actually giving the khutbah.
أو تذكر الفائتة,
or if you remember that you had missed one or up to 5 prayers. Because in the Maliki school, the tertib or the order of the prayers is a condition. So let's say you missed some prayers. You had some type of procedure, or you were unable to get to praying, and you missed Dhuhr, Asr, and Maghrib. And now it's Isha time. And you say, okay, I'll worry about that later. Let me just pray Isha. And you pray Isha. Your Isha is invalid. Why? Because you have to do the tertib. You have to do the 3 that came before. Up to 5. If you've missed 6 or more, then you don't have to do them in order. You just have to make them up. But if you missed 5 or less, then you would have to pray the ones that you missed in order, and then you would pray the Hadula, the one that you is for that particular time. So if you're in the prayer and you remember, oh, wait a minute, I'm praying Asr, I didn't pray Dhuhr yet. You know, maybe you're traveling and you wanted to combine, and then the congregation started Asr and you joined them and you made intention for Asr. And then you say, oh, wait, I didn't pray Dhuhr. It's invalid. So you leave the prayer and you pray Dhuhr. And if you have time to join them again, so be it. If not, you pray Asr by yourself.
That's the Dhakr al-Fa'ita. That's either for Nafila or even the Fard. You know, if you remember that you missed the fard, either if you're praying a sunnah prayer or a fard prayer and you missed the previous one, you have to do that first.
أو ضيق الوقت.
ضيق الوقت means that there's only X amount of time before the preferred time of Dhuhr is expired. Is this the time to do this, the extra sunnah rak'ahs?
No, you have to do the fard because you'll miss the prayer time. So at this point, it would be haram for you to pray that nafila because the time is tight. Or to pray the 2 rak'ahs before subah prayer, the morning prayer. If it's the sun is about to rise, then you skip it and you pray the fard, and then you wait till after sunrise sometime, which they say is about when 10 to 20 minutes after sunrise, then you can pray the sunnah that you missed. So as not to be praying while the sun is rising, as we said earlier.
أو إقامة لحاضرة,
or you're in the masjid, and they just made iqama of Maghrib. And you say, well, I didn't pray the tahiyyat al-masjid, let me do that first. No, it's haram. Well, they made the iqama. Once they make the iqama, إِذَا قِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةَ فَلَا صَلَاةَ وَلَا كَلَامَ. If the prayer has been called to, and it's khalas pending, and about the name supposed to say Allahu Akbar, there's no speaking and there's no praying other prayers, you should join the prayer immediately. So those are the times where it's haram
to do a nafilah. وتكره النافلة, in other words, it's dislike to pray a sunnah or extra prayer when بعد صلاة العصر إلا أن تصلى المغرب. So anytime after عصر. So once you pray the fard عصر prayer, there are no sunnah prayers to be done until Maghrib comes in, and it's disliked to do so. There are some ahadith that indicate the Prophet ﷺ, some guests came to him, and they kept him busy from praying the sunnah of Asr. So he only prayed the Asr, and then he made it up after Asr. This they consider to be like an exception to the rule, not kind of the normal state of things. But generally speaking, you're not going. One should not pray any prayers after إلا أن تصلي المغرب until المغرب comes in. وبعد الفجر إلى أن ترتفع الشمس قدر الرمح. And from after Fajr, so you prayed the Fard of Fajr, there are no Sunnah prayers to be done now. So even if you didn't do the Sunnah prayer, you walked in the Masjid, they're already praying and you joined them, but you didn't do the Sunnah Qabliyah, you didn't do the two Sunnah Rak'ahs beforehand. You wait until after sunrise, قَدْرَ رُمْحِ, that they say is a spear's length high, which means, you know, 15, 20 minutes, 12 minutes after sunrise, where the sun has kind of risen a little bit and still not kind of lower in the horizon. Then at that point, you can pray duha, you can pray the sunnah that you missed of Fajr and so forth. It's disliked to do it otherwise. وَلَا يَجُوزُ تَأْخِيرُ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى الضُّرُورِ إِلَّا مِنْ عُذْرٍ كنوم وحيد وهي فيه أداء وفيما بعد ظهر قضاء. And it's not permissible to delay the prayer until it's necessary time, ضروري time, except if there's a valid excuse, like what? Sleep. Say you fell asleep before Asr comes in, and then you woke up after the Isfirar, after the yellowness in the sky, and Maghrib is not in yet, but you woke up after that, then you're not athim, you're not sinful, and you're still praying on time, because you fell asleep. وحيد. Or if a woman was intending to pray the Asr and then she gets her period and now she can't pray. Well, that's a prayer that has to be made up, but she's not ethnic, she's not sinful. As long as she didn't wait until all the way till the Daruri time before she thought about praying or not. So if it happens sometime in the Ikhtiyari, in the preferred time, then that's just a prayer she has to make up there. وَهَيَ فِيهِ أَدَاءٌ. Right? So even if you pray during the Daruri, as we said, the necessary time, it's still considered on time. وَفِيمَا بَعْدَ الضُّرُورِ قَضَاءٌ. But after the Daruri, after the necessary time, it's considered a make-up prayer. Why is that important? Because when you make the intention for it to be a make-up prayer, not an on-time prayer. وَلَا يَقْضِي مِنَ الْمَعْذُورِينَ إِلَّا النَّائِمَ وَالنَّاسِي. And the ones who have the valid excuse, they don't have to make it up except the one who is asleep and an-nasi, the one who forgot. So that's an excuse too, you just forgot. And then you didn't remember until, you know, you get into the Dhuhri time or until after the prayer has expired, you're into the next prayer time, you still have to make it up. He doesn't mention here specifically, but I'll also say that you also have to make it up if you didn't pray on purpose. So some people, they become recommitted to Islam and they were pretty much Muslim their whole life, and there was a time maybe in their youth or earlier they stopped praying or they didn't consider praying. We say to people like this, you should be making the effort to make up those prayers. How so? Don't pray any nafila, don't pray any of the sunnah prayers, because it's the higher priority for you is to pray the obligatory prayers. So instead of making intention for a sunnah prayer, make intention for an obligatory prayer. So for each dhuhr that you pray a new one, you intend on one that you missed. So it'll take you however number, if you missed 2 years of prayers, then it'll take you 2 years to make them up. Or if you're more enthusiastic and have a higher aspiration in himma, then do two of them. So that which you missed for 2 years, you can do in 1 year. It's up to you. And then in Ramadan, Taraweeh, we also say, don't pray the Taraweeh or pray behind the imam. Take the Shafi'i opinion, which allows you to have a different intention than the imam, and pray and make intention for the prayers that you missed. That's also another way to do it. And we say take the Shafi'i opinion because in the Maliki school, the intention of the imam and the ma'mun, the one behind him, have to be the same. So he can't be praying fard and you're praying sunnah, or he's praying sunnah and you're praying fard. More in the Shafi'i school, that is allowed. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم، والحمد لله رب العالمين. We'll stop here for tonight بإذن الله تعالى، وجزاكم الله خير.